Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, well, speaking of great Brett Veach finds, we're already seeing a lot of these rookies from this draft have an impact. I mean, you can't say enough about Brett Veach either. We've seen big plays from Watson, Karlaftis, Pacheco, the list goes on. What stands out to you guys the most from this rookie class?
First, Kayla, I think you should officially put in a request for Brett Veach. You guys are close personal friends.
I will, Cody.
Let's get Brett Veach on the show. Let's start there because I want to compliment him to his face. What Brett Veach has done the last 2 years in the NFL draft is borderline incredible. Jalen Watson, Karlaftis, Pacheco, Sky Moore, Chenal, McDuffie, Cook, those all have contributed to this year's team. Last year, they had 5 contributors from the draft. This is not a normal hit rate. We say that about Mahomes or other guys. This has been the whole podcast. It's not normal what Kelsey's doing. It's not normal what Mahomes is doing. It sure as hell isn't normal, the current hit rate for Brett Veach. The only, and I do mean only, and it would be a small complaint you could have, is he's not finding a bunch of stars yet at wide receiver. But I don't know, man. Trent McDuffie plays a valuable position, and for the one game, he looked great. George Karlaftis looks the part. And I think more importantly, we don't have to do this down year talk of let's not put Super Bowl, like up with the Bills Super Bowl stuff on them for a half a year because we're trying to figure out who they are. They're right back at the top. I have no less expectations than I did before, and that's because what Brett Veach did in the draft this year.
I think you have different expectations for different players depending on where they were drafted, but like if we're just starting at the top, Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, first-round picks, you expect them to be 2 contract players, right? Like we can talk about stardom.
Yeah.
I think that's always way too lofty. I don't care where you're drafting them, even if you're drafting in the top 10. The hope should just be that they can be a high-quality starter for you for more than just their rookie contract.
Correct.
So the hope for me with McDuffie and Karlaftis is that in 4 years, the Chiefs are like, okay, let's lock this guy up for another 3 or 4 because we want him to be a part of our long-term future. Everybody else, I mean, second round, maybe to the same extent, but there's a little bit less pressure on it. What's been so impressive to me is that the guys maybe a little bit later on in the draft, I mean, Jalen Watson is as impressive as any of these guys simply because he is on the roster and he's playing and he's not getting exposed.
And he's one of 2 seventh round picks who are playing a lot for the team.
Same thing with Pacheco. Now, maybe I highlight Watson a little bit more because of his position. We've seen running backs who get passed over in the draft have a little bit more success. Cornerback's a premium position. I mean, teams will spend top 10 picks on cornerbacks if they think that they're the goods. This guy's 7th round pick. Those guys usually don't make the team. He's made the team. He's playing. And he looks like he belongs.
As of right now, he's starting.
Yeah. And he got scored on by Mike Evans. Guess what? A lot of cornerbacks in the NFL get scored on by Mike Evans because he's Mike Evans. And he's a physical freak. So I'm not digging him for that whatsoever. I don't know how long Jalen Watson will play for the Chiefs or what the future holds, but the immediate return on investment for this draft has been shockingly good.
You know what it is? It's like, if he didn't get that pick right, Nick, who the hell would they be starting while McDuffie's hurt? DeAndre Baker? Mike Hughes? These are the type of corners they've had in the previous years. Hell, DeAndre Baker was on this. He was on like the practice squad cut line. Going, so it's probably him. I don't know about you. I guess he let up a touchdown to Mike Evans. I don't think it would have gone better for DeAndre Baker. I feel like it would have gone significantly worse. He drafted so well, he could cover a first round draft pick injury immediately with a different rookie. not some veteran he stuck around who's okay and you're taking a chance on. He immediately moved another guy. And look, you would have logically thought it was Joshua Williams. Under a normal draft, I would complain that Joshua Williams is not a part of this unit. But wouldn't that seem kind of hollow if I said, you know, fourth round pick on Joshua Williams, guys. It'd be cool if you got him involved. And like, well, I mean, you know, he has gotten production out of Watson, Karloftis, Pacheco. Recently, Sky Moore. Cooks played a little bit more. McDuffie. I have to put to bed a little bit the idea that I used to have complaints or worries about Brett Veach's drafting ability. And honestly, most of those concerns are gone now.
Question for you guys. Maybe this is a question we ask Brett when he comes on. Sam Presti is my favorite in the NBA just because of what he does draft-wise. And he just has this like genius way of, I don't know, finding the right picks. Do you think what Brett Veach does, is that luck? Is it just having a knack for it? Is it just being really good at your job? Is it the whole Andy reconnection and how they're so in sync and on the same page? What is it about him and drafting stars?
I think that he, I'll say this. I think that he did the normal thing, Kayla, where it took him a couple of years to actually like get up, get ready. And there were a few drafts where you didn't really like it. But I think he has a knack for finding late round talent. Borderline, like, I don't know if he's gift, but like borderline gifted at it, because if you go back through all of his drafts, like get rid of the first one, because that is what it is. You're just not going to do that. Pretty much every draft, his first draft stinks. So I'm going to eliminate it. Nick Allegretti started for them at guard. He was a seventh round pick in the Super Bowl. Rashad Fenton still starts for them. He was a sixth round pick. Michael Dana is a rotational defensive end in the fifth. Legere Sneed is a starting corner in the fourth. Trey Smith is their starting guard in the sixth. Pacheco and Jalen Watson are playing a lot right now in the seventh. You can't tell me that that's an accident. That's a gift. He's good at it. He's better at finding late round talent than other GMs.
Well, what I think it is more than anything else, when you get to the late rounds, they haven't scouted all these players the way that they scout the early round guys, right? When you're looking at Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis and Sky Moore, you're watching every single snap they took in college. When you get to the late round, there is no way for any GM to know how this is going to translate. If you did, then you would have drafted him in the first or the second round. Yeah. I think when you look at guys like Pacheco and Jalen Watson, since they're the two that we're highlighting here, you're just looking for tools. You're looking for, this is what he does well. We know that there are plenty of dings against them. That's why they're borderline undrafted players. But in the case of Pacheco, I think they saw this guy's really fast and he's really strong. In the case of Jalen Watson, they saw this guy is tall, long, rangy, and has a knack for making plays. Yeah, there's a lot of cons. There's a laundry list of reasons for all these guys as to why they may not make it in the NFL. But what the Chiefs do is identify the tools that they think fit their system. And then from there, you hope that the development process and the acclimation period for going from college to the NFL works. And in the case of those two guys, it's worked really, really well. I do want to say one thing, by the way, like George Karloftis, even though I said that you shouldn't expect guys to be stars, I'm convinced George Karloftis is going to be a star. If not a star, he is going to be one of those guys that's just like a Carlos Dunlap type who's routinely racking up 8 or 9 sacks. Even though he doesn't have one yet, it's coming because he is constantly in the backfield hounding quarterbacks.
Kayla, would you wear a Georgie Porgy pudding pie t-shirt if Nick sent it to you? Do you want to send?
Absolutely.
Do you have your phone, Nick? We're doing this on video. Can you show her a picture of what
I saw Nick it on did social the other night? I think. Did you put it on Twitter?
He probably did. He tried to put it up on. We have a show t-shirt site that we sold some Bobby Wood Jr. shirts for and some other reasons. Nick tried to put it up and it was very quickly hit with the copyright infringement. They're on to him. they're on to him. Took all the
I will wear 5 minutes. Any shirt you give me. I love a good t-shirt. Absolutely, I'll wear that. I have one of Andy Reid dabbing.
Wow.
Oh, Kayla, so disappointing. You know what? I take it back. That might have been the most you missed on Sunday. What did you think of Andy Reid's commercial appearance?
His acting debut? I'm obsessed. Also, was that a play on Friends? That's a Friends episode where Ross writes on Rachel when she falls asleep when they're going to Vegas. It's like my two favorite things in one commercial.
I was going to say, I think this is the second Friends reference you have made since we started this podcast.
It definitely is.
I'm surprised it's not more.
I think just, we found just Kayla's wait, you guys. Favorite show. Honestly, Andy completely underplayed it. He was saying yesterday, he's like, oh, you know, I'm not really good at those things. I'm like, shut up. You were the best actor in that whole commercial. He was better than Mahomes. Mahomes has been doing it for 3 years.
I'm going to need to see more collaborations between those two, whether it be State Farm or anything else.
Over under 0.5 more commercials, Andy Reid accent.
Over.
I don't know, man. I don't know that he wants to do it. Hey, I think Andy likes football.
The door is open now. Like, once the door is open, you can't just say he's never going to do it again. If I would have asked you a week ago, you'd say, Cody, you would have bet your life savings that Andy Reid would never do a commercial. Well, he just did one.
Yeah, it's probably true. I wasn't anticipating it. It was very confusing in the middle of the game that Andy was even in it because, I don't know, man. He seems like the guy, like, people are like, how long do you think Andy will coach for? Forever. Because I can't imagine Andy doing another job. He's not going to be a TV analyst. Like, Nick, I think we'd even joke to be like, you think Andy'd ever just be a TV analyst? And I said it was more likely that he's the like passing game coordinator for Toledo than he is an NFL analyst. Like, I could see him coaching high school football before he decided to be an analyst. I think Andy likes being a coach.
Well, guess what? You know who else we think only cares about football? Nick Saban. And then Aflac came with that bag, and now he's high-fiving computer animated geese on television. Or is it a duck?
Dude, and Andy's 10 times the entertainer of Nick Saban because Nick Saban stinks. He's boring. He's not funny.
It's a great point. Great point. All right. One last question for you guys as we quickly close out the show. Scoring is down league-wide. We've seen these top offenses running the ball or doing just like having a short passing game. For example, only 5 of Mahomes' 37 pass attempts against Tampa were 15-plus yards down the field. They also had the third most rushing yards in a game since Mahomes took over as a starter. What's the reason behind this?
I think it's because everyone decided to run the Mahomes defense on everybody. You know that whole, like, cover two, we're just going to put everyone back, never blitz? Turns out they're going to do that for everyone. They're going to do that for Joe Burrow, who's struggling, Matt Stafford, who's struggling, and their offensive line stinks, so that doesn't help. They decided to do it. They're doing it for Aaron Rodgers, who's struggling, to the Patriots. It doesn't matter your team. They're doing it to you, including Russell Wilson and others. 7 of the top 10 scoring offenses are not what you would call big-named quarterback teams. And just, like, I could go year for year if you wanted to. It doesn't really matter. But just so you know, most of the top scoring offenses have great quarterback situations. Or really good quarterback situations. Last year, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Kansas City, the Chargers and the Rams were the top 6. Those sound like the teams that you would assume have some of the best quarterback and offensive mind coaching situations. This year, the teams in the top 10 include Detroit, Philadelphia, who people did not see coming but are an excellent running team, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Atlanta, and Vegas. You know what they do? Run. They run the ball really well. I think the rest of the league hasn't caught up. And I think the reason Andy's having success is he had to deal with it all year. I think that's very simply put. I think running's going to matter more this year than it normally does. Having a good rushing offense.
And what did we see against Tampa? We saw the Chiefs go for 189. It's the third most they'd had, right?
And the Bucs go for 3? Is that how many rushing yards they had? 3? Minus 3? Whatever it was.
On 6 attempts. I think we crunched those numbers on Sunday's episode.
Half a yard. 1/2 of a yard per carry.
You know, this is, I think some of that will, some of that's going to buff out. I'll tell you this right now. I'm just going to go ahead and throw out a bold prediction. Atlanta will not remain one of the top 10 offenses in the NFL.
Well, Patterson being hurt probably doesn't help.
Come on, dude. It's Marcus Mariota at quarterback. No. You think that's sustainable for 17 games? Like, some of this is going to regress a little bit, but I do think there's something to it. The Chiefs spent all offseason and most of last year having to sort of try and adjust to getting the ball out quickly. It was the first thing Mahomes said in the postgame interview on the field with NBC. Thought we had a good game plan. I got the ball out quick. That tells you they knew exactly what Tampa was going to do. They're going to get the ball out quick. They're going to run the ball well. It remains to be seen if the Chiefs are going to be able to run with consistency. That's the one thing that I want to see maybe a few more times before I'm all in on, wow, this team knows how to run the ball now. Because they just simply have not done that consistently, really, at any point. There was a stretch at the end of last year when Darrell kind of got hot, but I want to see this team with the running backs, not Patrick Mahomes ending the game with 40, 50 yards where he just sort of takes off at the end of a broken play. I want to see this team run the ball with consistency before I'm ready to like fully commit to this team being able to beat these types of defenses.
I'm going to bring the podcast full circle here. Nick, do you ever get that you look like Justin Timberlake?
Oh my God. This is not
with
a third
the hat
person.
And the beard. Like I can totally see it.
He usually gets Lincoln Riley, the head coach of now USC.
I see that too.
So about 4 years ago, I just got a fresh haircut, really nice fade. Beard was fade. I mean, everything was really tight. It was like a guy I was calling high school football with. He was like 55 years old. And he said, you know, you kind of look like Justin Timberlake. And I said, well, coming from you, no offense. Like, I don't think that's going to carry much weight. Then about a year ago, someone else said it. I immediately turned to my girlfriend. I was like, hey, so-and-so said I look like Justin Timberlake. And she was like, okay, well, yeah, whatever. But now three times, when it happens three times, I don't think you can deny it. So henceforth, I will accept any and all comparisons. So thank you, Kayla.
You're welcome. I'm actually really good at this game. I can always figure out who someone looks like. So
wait, who does Cody look like?
I don't think I want this answer.
Still TBD. I'll have to think about it some more.
Okay.
We'd like an answer by the next podcast.
Okay.
What a tease. That'll be my homework. What a cliffhanger to end the episode.
Like, subscribe, download wherever you get your podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get them. Apple doesn't matter. Spotify, if you're going to want to find out who Kayla thinks I look like.
We will be back with you on Monday for your Monday Night Football preview. So back with you on Monday. That's going to do it for our Wednesday episode. I'm Kayla Canarum. That is Cody Tapp. He is Nick Schwartz / Justin Timberlake. And once again, don't forget to like, subscribe. This is the It's Always Game Day in Kansas City podcast. We will be back with you on Monday.